Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. Another packed week, of course, with the State of the Union address, which I am going to launch with because, as far as I'm concerned, it's good news. Great news. I start with good news or great news. I don't always know how it's going to end, but this is good news. And what was different for me about this is that I never, ever, ever watch a State of the Union address. I always read the transcript. I'm not really interested, for the most part, in hearing all the clapping and all of that stuff and whatever else is going on. I like to just read it for the content, and then that makes it a little bit easier for me to report to you on it. This was an exception. I take it back. It's the second one. I watched one before, some years back with Trump, but I knew that there was going to be stuff going on. There was going to be theatrics from the left. When I saw that 70 of them were going to boycott it, cowardless weenies that they are, then there's going to be some others that are going to pick up the slack and cause problems. And I wanted to see what Trump would do that would just simply show America how anti-American Democrats are, how much they hate this country, how much they need illegal aliens. Otherwise, their sorry tushes can't get elected, except in goofball states like New York and California and Washington, Oregon, Hawaii, Illinois. There are those. I don't think you need the illegals to get elected there, but you sure do, and a whole bunch of other states, and that's what they're going for. So I expected, without knowing this in advance, I knew that it was going to be long because Trump doesn't do anything short. And I guess he bested the previous record of the State of the Union address for the longest, which was his. So he broke his own record. There were so many good things to talk about, and I'm not going to go into them. If you want to find out, I think the best thing is to just Google a transcript and read it. It won't take you as long as you might think just because of all the time out of the hour and, 48 minutes. There was a lot of clapping and other stuff going on. But there were some surprise things. The 2.4 million people that the reduction in the food stamps up to 2.4 million. I love the hockey team coming in. It was the first time and almost the only time that the Democrats stood up. You know, they can't be against the hockey team, I guess, but goodness sakes, the young girl who was severely and permanently damaged by an illegal alien that blasted her car going 60 miles an hour in a truck. Do they stand for her? Of course not, because they're for illegals. They love illegal. They do stuff that's illegal. They work for Satan, who is called the lawless one. They are lawless. That's how they get their stuff done. Oh my gosh. But I love the setup. I love Trump setting them up when he said, and you know about it by now, I'd like everybody to stand who believes that our job as the government here is to stand up first for American citizens before illegal aliens. And all the Democrats stayed down. What did that tell you? It was the most visual thing that the Democrats are for illegals. They want the country overrun. They hate Christianity. They want our borders destroyed. They want a totalitarian government where they're in charge, and it's going to take an influx of a gargantuan amount of illegals to do it in a shorter period of time than what they want to wait for by the due process of time, as this country just slowly drifts left for the most part. And Trump just looks at him and says, "You people are crazy." And they didn't move. When he said, "We need to have legislation that stops the interstate transitioning of minors for sex changes without parental consent." Do you think any one of the bastard Democrats stood up for that? Of course not. Look where their values. Why do we have to call a landslide 54 to 46 if we win? Why isn't a landslide 88 to 12 when the left thinks like they do, acts like they do, and last night reveals what they are, who they are, and where their priorities lie? The Democrats could not stand for anything that represented the most basic civil concepts of an ordered society based on, first of all, I would say common sense, then followed by the Constitution. Constitution is just a speed bump to the left. They got to get over it somehow on their way to a totalitarian government. So, you know, like I say it all the time, don't sell your guns or ammo because you are likely going to need them at some point in self-defense. Yeah. And what if there's something you had to pull away from an hour and 48 minutes, it's this. Donald J. Trump, notwithstanding the narcissism and all of that stuff, the bravado, which he toned down a lot last night. I was very proud of him. A few spots made me squirm. But no, he was giving the honor and the glory and the recognition to other people for the most part, as it should be. But what was the dividing line here between Trump and, I will say, the Republicans and the left is this. Donald J. Trump absolutely loves this country. And he said it. The left hates this country. Everything about it right now is preventing them from assuming an ungodly, totalitarian, antichrist reign of terror, because that's what it'll become. He loves this country. They hate this country. He is an empathetic, tough guy with a heart for what's right. And God's given him that heart. If you heard the program a couple of weeks ago, you'll know what I'm talking about. So Trump is great because God made him great by putting his, meaning God's, will into that man's heart and mind. Goodness sakes, all these righteous things he's doing, and you know, and he still wonders if he's going to make it to heaven. I don't know why nobody has really explained to him how you get to heaven. But as long as he thinks he might not, and it's going to require good works to get there, I want him to go to heaven. I definitely do. But if there's some confusion in his mind and he thinks he has to do one right thing after another, one righteous act after another, in an attempt to get there, well, at least for right now, while he's in office, so be it. Because he's doing the right things. The tough guy with a heart. Oh, my. I told somebody at a dinner last night, it gives me shivers to think that there would be a Democrat in the White House in 2028. Well, it would be sworn in 2029. That's not very far away. When I call it a reign of terror, it will be a reign of revenge that will not be bridled and that will lapse into terror. That could be horrible, unless we have a military totally reinvigorated under Trump's great recruiting techniques and success, would be the military that, to quote Mark Kelly, does not have to follow illegal orders, Mark, because that military can rise up against your sorry tush and all those who think and talk and act just like you if you get in power. In fact, after this dinner last night, there were about 12 of us, I asked this question. If it's okay for soldiers to disobey what they consider illegal orders, who's going to determine whether it's legal or illegal? Apparently, it's in the minds of the soldier. Everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. That's what they implied. Elizabeth Slutkin and Mark Kelly being the two premier people in that statement. You're not obligated to obey illegal orders. Let's switch this around. So I asked some people in the group. We're kind of divided up. I said, based on that premise, which the court said is now free speech, would we not, in let's say 29, 20, 2030, whenever, be able to say we are under no obligation to follow the illegal orders and directives of any judge? A judge who wouldn't recognize a constitution in a law school library. Same thing, right? First of all, I mean, we could obviously apply it to the military, refusing the orders of Gavin Newsom or whoever might be in there, although I'd like to think that guy's going down in flames. Sometimes I hope it literally, but that's another story. More on him in a minute. But why wouldn't it apply to anything that the party deems to be illegal? The orders of the president are no less than an order of a judge. They have their sphere of influence and jurisdiction. But one doesn't trump the other. No pun intended. Well, okay. Well, I spent more on that than I thought, but I guess it's important. At least I think it is. Some other good news stories. We're going to move on here, and I'm going to get back to some things very, very close to home for a lot of the listeners of this program. This good news, that the Federal Appeals Court has sided with the state of Louisiana allowing enforcement of a state law calling for the display of the Ten Commandments in school classrooms. Now, this has been legal. It's just that the left has no problem apparently disregarding what they consider illegal orders. But the court said, look, this is there's a dual character to the Ten Commandments in that they deal with religious but also cultural and historical nature. And it does. And so that's great news. I don't know where it's going to go from there. Next piece of good news. I find this really intriguing. And why? I haven't heard anything about it. Other than what I've dug into. And I've gone into it in depth. And it's for real. That the UN is facing a possible financial collapse due to the United States not paying dues. Hallelujah. Yeah, baby. Why do we have to carry the whole world? They want to have that thing on U.S. soil? Pay up. Pay up or just vacate all those offices in New York City at the UN building. Turn it back over to Trump, let him turn it into condominiums, and then sell them for mega millions of bucks and reduce the federal debt. Now, that's been my plan for over about a year and a half, actually just before he got elected. Sell the The Borneo suite. The Borneo suite, well, that one's going to go for $1,238,000. And then the Australian suite, well, that one's going to go for $2 million, whatever. Every suite is named after the country that used to occupy it. But now it's residential housing. It's condos, the UN building, and make mega millions. Would it go into the billions? I don't think so, but maybe. But the UN needs to. Why do you subsidize something that hates us and hates Israel? And we foot the bill. Why? Just stop. Let them pay it if they want. And it needs somebody this gutsy like Trump to do it. Okay, moving on to yet even a better story. This is exciting that there is, you know, I don't know how to define revival. Means vive is life. Revive means to come back to life. So when people talk about revival, that's actually probably not the right word. It's probably just vival. People have come to life for the first time. They haven't been revived to spiritual life. Not like they were saved and then they went backslid and they came back. But anyway, that's what everybody calls it, so I guess I'm stuck with a misuse of the word. But what is it in this day and time? Well, there are these breakout of things that occur, like the one I talked about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, about this small little deal in the University of Tennessee campus in, I think they're in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it turns out 8,000 kids show up. And they bring in baptismals, and kids are getting baptized. That's thrilling. That's fabulous. It's not happening at every school. It's not happening at most schools. It's happening at a few. So when you say revival, you have to kind of put it in the context of where. Where is this happening and what's happening? But here is the statistics that I'm loving. I'm a stat guy. From the Pew Research Notes, it says that the ones that are coming to church and for which they're describing as the, quote, surprising revival are two groups that have them baffled. One is Gen Z men. The increase in people coming to church is greater among young men than young women. The increase. Now, the young women were greater in number than the young men. But the increase in coming to church, in other words, all the improvement, the Gen Z men are getting the most improved award. Isn't that something? Which means that those nice young ladies in church are going to finally have a greater inventory of men from which to consider their dating pool, if I could be so bold. The other group is that there is a small uptick, but it's a noticeable uptick, in highly educated people returning to some kind of a religion. Could be Catholicism. It's not Mormonism. That's the other end of the scale as far as intelligence. But anyway, the highly educated men and women, there is a meaningful increase in the number of them that are showing an interest in religion. I can't say faith or necessarily Christianity, but they're searching because having taken all those college courses and doing this and that, thinking and having top-notch jobs, being regarded as, oh, the highly illustrious so-and-so with the PhD, and the point comes in life where they realize that PhD might possibly stand for piled high and deep, that there's more to life. Kind of empty at the top. I don't hold much hope for them. I'm going with the Gen Z guys. Way to go, you guys. That's just, I just think that's incredibly, it's just cool. It's exciting. And now, that's the end of the good news, sort of. This isn't good news or bad news, but I'm going to showcase in a negative way, which is actually good news. It's going to be a negative story that's actually good news about Gavin Newsom. And I know that you have heard this and seen this on TV or radio about this jerk, this absolute slimy pond scum jackass. And I say that, of course, with all due respect, Gavin. His speech, this talk that he gave, clearly implying that blacks are stupid and that they can't even read. Now, I'm going to read what he said, but then I need to expand on it from some other things here. Because this is important. Newsom said in this interview, quote, "Now understand that everybody in the audience here, not a big audience, are all black." So does the word pandering come to mind when you hear this? Newsom said, quote, "I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you. I'm like you. I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. An SAT score of 960 is very, very average. You know, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, trying to act all there if you got a 940, but literally I'm a 960 SAT guy." We don't know if that's true or not, because he lies all the time. He said, "I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech." And then went on basically to say he has dyslexia and he can't read. But he's pandering to these blacks, telling them that, you know what, if you got a crappy score, don't feel badly. I got a crappy score too. And just I'm just like you. I can't read. So Nicki Minaj, who's an, I don't know, is she a singer? I don't really know who she is. But she has interestingly come out to be very pro-Trump. And now she's very much hated as a celebrity, which I guess she is. She writes and says, quote, "His way of bonding with black people is to tell them how stupid he is and that he can't read. This means my first read on him was correct." Now, she's to insert. She's been against him as a fraud, a fake, and a charlatan for some time now. "He's been handed so many things and put in high positions that he's never earned or deserved. Do you want to know the craziest part of this footage that will haunt him forever? He's literally slowing down his speech and talking in a very sporadic cadence. He's not just telling them that they're all probably stupid and probably can't read. He's literally slowing down his speech to make them understand the words that are coming out of his mouth as if they're children. That means he really believes they are slow. He's not just saying it. He didn't misspeak. He believes it, that they're stupid. It's his way of bonding to tell them how stupid he is." Oh, my gosh. The spokesman for Newsom had to defend Newsom against a question that was asked. And that was, the party asked him, "Can you give us, can you tell us or give us some proof that Gavin Newsom is dyslexic?" In other words, this guy's lying. And this is Gavin Newsom's spokesman. He says, "Go F yourself." Well, that's a real nice level of discourse, which is really only one of the 10 words that the left ever uses. They think somehow they're being a real tough guy the more they can swear. Now, I want you to consider this on top of the story I did about 2 or 3 months ago where Newsom sat down on a podcast with two black guys again, both basketball players, and he talked in real broken kind of English, badly punctuated sentences, like he wasn't very educated, didn't know how to speak, but he's talking to me, he said, "Hey, you know what, I'm just like you guys. You know, I pretty much raised myself." This is a quote. "I grew up on mac and cheese, and what did I do? You know, I spent pretty much most of my time just, you know, outside dribbling the basketball. Oh, baloney. What pandering crap is that to tell two pro basketball players that he's just like them? He grew up on mac and cheese. And what's more, he spent all his time dribbling too. No. The question that came out here, the social media comments after this whole fiasco, going back to story number one. So is Gavin going to try his ghetto black accent next, like Harris tried? And I should also add, like Hillary Clinton tried? All these whites that try to fake being black. Another one said, this is what Democrats really think about minorities. Next one, I'm betting this and hoping this is the strong final nail in the coffin of your political career. I would like to think that, but I'm not sure that it is. Last one, he won't get out from under that. Yikes. Well, I hope that he doesn't. I hope this just absolutely buries him. Now, let's put this into perspective, because what was unearthed is a video of Gavin Newsom talking to the authors of a book that he read. He didn't talk about his SATs being really low. And you know what? Does he even know what his SAT score was at 50-some years old? You take that when you're 18. I have no idea what my SAT was. I don't even remember what my LSAT was, the law school aptitude test. And I took it twice. I think it said you're average. The next time it said, knock it off, kid, you're still average. Well, I'm not really sure what the score was, but I'd remember I was average. I know that's just a heartbreak to a lot of you, but I'm average or below that. So Newsom's given this speech. I'm sorry, he's got giving this talk. And he's talking with these two authors. And this is what he said. He said that when he started talking about how great their book was, and he read the 260-page book, 260 or 280, I can't remember, 18 chapters, and he said that he read it in an hour and a half, that the book was so good that he could speed read. How does that work if you're dyslexic? You speed read your way through dyslexia? And who's his audience here? They're white. Totally different message if they're white versus black. I mean, he is such a condescending piece of crap. He should be surprised if for some reason his life isn't threatened if he steps out of California. This is just absolutely unbelievable. Because it didn't seem that he was at all dyslexic when he bragged to this white audience that he could read a 260-page book in only 90 minutes. And he didn't say he skimmed it. He said he loved the book so much he read every bit of it. 260 pages in 90 minutes. So what is that? That is approximately 3 pages a minute. That's 20 seconds a page. You don't get there with dyslexia. He doesn't even remember his lies. This is a problem with slimy, creepy, categorical, congenital liars like Newsom, or just scum. They don't remember when, where, how much they lied, or what they said is their lie until the videos come out. I hope this buries this guy. This is, like I said, this is probably the one guy I can't stand more than anybody else in the entire United States. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
She can't so walk in the dark. Just a walking bird dog.
Okay, thank you, Rufus Thomas. Love that song. I got the 45 of that. Is it worth any money? I don't know. It is to me, and I'm not selling it anyway. Okay. This next piece of story, because I'm going to run short for time, I'm going to kind of skip it other than to say that Colorado is really, truly, truly trying to out-stupid and out-left California. It's ridiculous. Their new law that says that in Colorado, it's now punishable by law to misgender someone. So by speaking truthfully, saying a man is a man, just because he doesn't want you to call him a man. Now you can be brought up on civil charges. Democrats voted for this. Colorado has a queer fag governor. The Supreme Court is 100% Democrats. 100. The legislature is all Democrat. House and there are no Republicans anywhere in any government, basically, in that state. But let me just apply a bit of rare, if not almost extinct, common sense to the Colorado government. If it's punishable to misgender somebody by saying something that's truthful, but they just don't like you saying it, why can't you sue somebody if you call them whatever, pick jackass, bastard? That's as far as I'm going to go. Why? I can say those. Both those words are in the Bible. It's the only reason I get away with it on the air. Maybe not the best word choice, but then you can expand on that. I don't care what the curse word is for the context of making this point. Does anybody want to hear you call them really bad words, cursing? Who wants to be called a bastard or a jackass, using those two as an example? Nobody. Do you get to sue them? Is it punishable for law by law? And that's and that may well be false. So you can't punish the other party for actually saying a falsehood because they can't prove that you are what they called you. Here, it's the actual truth. But you can get brought up on civil charges. I had property in Colorado. I am so glad I sold it. Get out of Dodge. Okay. And I got to keep moving along here. I wasn't going to spend much time on that, and there I did. Okay. This is really amazing. So all of you, probably all of you, are well aware of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, what have you, a speech or interview at the Munich conference. And It was her own version of Kamala Harris, the Munich Security Conference. I couldn't think of what the conference was. Security Conference, where she's asked a pretty straightforward question. What would you think if China invaded Taiwan? You know, should we send in troops? And her response was, you know, It was what, 40 minutes of word salad. She couldn't figure out what she was trying to say. She couldn't say it. She self-destructed. And then she had the audacity to come back to try to explain and justify why she said, the, for 45 seconds? She rambled. She could not answer the question. In addition to other multiple gaffes, like she's Hispanic, but she didn't know that Venezuela was actually north of the equator. She said it was south of the equator. So she can't answer the question. But why she can't answer the question, she blames on Donald Trump. So after a couple days of watching the cringeworthy repeat of her complete abysmal flop and failure, because she is stupid. She's a barista. You could be a smart barista. I'm not knocking baristas. But that doesn't qualify you for foreign affairs, and she doesn't know jack about it. So this was her answer. So, and this is her answer given on a video she did where she's fighting back the tears because she's so embarrassed about how badly she did. But the tears are for herself because it's all Trump's fault. Of course it's Trump's fault, right? Just because she blew answers about Venezuela. Oh, and she also said that Secretary of State Marco Rubio is a racist against what race, I'm not sure, because he's Hispanic, for saying that cowboys came from Spain. You retarded bimbo Ocasio. Baby, they did come from Spain. Most of our horses came from Spain. They came to Mexico. The conquistadors, the caballeros, the gentlemen cowboys. These are Spanish words that describe the fact that the Spaniards were cowboys before we had cowboys. They were. That was, and it goes back to what, the 1700s? We didn't even have an out west back when Spain occupied Mexico and they had the caballeros and they had their cowboys. Then the, what was it? I think the paniolos, I think, is the other word for cowboys. Caballeros is gentleman cowboy. I think paniolos is just a regular cowboy. Here's what she said. If you think that I don't understand foreign policy because out of hours of discourse about international affairs, I pause to think about one of the most sensitive geopolitical issues that currently exists on Earth. I'm afraid the issue is not my understanding, but rather the problem is perhaps that you've gotten adjusted to a president that never thinks before he speaks. It's all Trump's fault. She said that he speaks before he thinks. Sometimes he does. But then why is this the only rumbling, bumbling, stupid, brain-dead attempt to answer a very straightforward question that she had a brain lapse of considerable longevity? Why has she never had this experience before if the cause of it is Trump, but she has it now? This is, I don't know. Victor Davis Hanson did a great impersonation of her. And on a podcast, this is what he said. He said to his co-host, Jack Fowler, you asked me a question. And first, Victor is a very bright guy. He said, this woman knows nothing, nothing. She doesn't know anything. She was a barista, kind of cute, glib. She got elected in a surprise win where nobody really took her seriously. And then she went into the Latina DEI and the squad, and she never did any homework. She doesn't know anything. So then he asks Jack Fowler, the co-host, to ask him a question so he can imitate her. This is his answer, virtually word for word. I would say, Jack, of course, as you know, it's a very important question you asked. Jack, And I've been thinking about the conference, and it's important, and we worry about it, and it's something I've thought a lot about. So, if she's trying to give a very measured response, so that she doesn't look like she's shooting from the hip, like supposedly Trump does, then why, after all of this time, did she end up with a brain dead no answer? She is a lying twit, just like the rest of the left. So the left doesn't quit. New York high school teacher, she is ousted because she's helping students launch a Turning Point USA chapter. I'm not kidding. The Charles W. Baker High School in Baldwinsville, New York. She's put out after helping students start a Club America chapter. That's the high school version of Turning Point USA, of course, founded by Charlie Kirk. And who was the lady who got bounced? Ooh, this is interesting. Jennifer Fasulo, who is a Spanish teacher at the high school. Now, the last thing we could have is Hispanics admiring Charlie Kirk. And a Charlie Kirk TPUSA chapter started by the Hispanic, a Hispanic who teaches Spanish? Unthinkable. We can't have more Hispanics voting Republican. I've got to share this. I can't let this part of it go. When I went to the Charlie Kirk Memorial, you know, I don't know, it was what, 95, 100 degrees, 200 degrees. I don't know. People were passing out left and right. I was fine. God blessed me. No water for 2.5 hours. I was fine. But we're in the serpentine line, and right ahead of me is an Hispanic lady with about a 12-year-old son and about a 10-year-old daughter. And, you know, when you're in these long lines, you get to know people. You're just about ready to put them on your contact list. And I said to her, I said, boy, I really appreciate the fact that you brought your kids. I said, I'm guessing they're your kids. She said, yeah, they are, out to this event. And she said, I wouldn't miss it for the world. This is a historic event, the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And we talked about, you know, he spoke for righteousness and all of this. The left can't stand losing their base. They went nuts because of the increased number of blacks voting for Trump. They went bonkers because of all the Hispanic men, largely, voting for Trump this last time around. They can't handle it. I mean, And there is a good point in this. It's, you know, that passage out of Genesis that what the enemy intends for evil, God will use for good. The students rallied in support of Fasulo. They created a petition declaring that the teacher, quote, is currently facing discrimination for her spiritual and political beliefs. Now, this is in high school. And these students have 2,300 signatures. Now, the high school, I don't, yeah, you can, you know what? I guess it could be that big because I had a son that graduated from a class of 950. So I guess you could have a high school of 2,300. But that means basically everybody's signing it. What an embarrassment to the stupid school district that doesn't have the guts or the integrity for a righteous man, deceased, represented now by a righteous woman who wants to have a righteous club, of which a lot of them are Hispanic. Sheesh. Oh, boy. So, you wouldn't think that it could even get worse, but it does. So, there's a funeral for a 12-year-old victim of the tranny slaughterer, the murderer, up in Canada. and the family's having a funeral, and the family is getting death threats for the audacity to hold a funeral for their 12-year-old daughter shot by the tranny creep that murdered everybody there. Now, you know what I said, honestly, before everybody else said it, I did, about the fact that we should not be giving guns to trannies. They should not be able to buy them. Gender dysphoria is a mental disease. They're demented, debauched, debased, and demon-possessed. We have no business getting guns. And I went through the litany of all the tranny murders on that program. I think it's from 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. And then that thing came out in Canada where another tranny murders all these kids. And now for the first time, there are others that are starting to say, no guns for trannies. I did not know this empirically. Meaning I didn't have the stats. But the study came out that in the mass murder department, mass being, I think, killing two or more people or shooting more, whether wounded. I keep forgetting the definition because they keep lowering the number of casualties necessary to call it a mass shooting. Whatever the left wants to do to try to vilify guns. But here's the deal. I read this, I thought, hallelujah. I knew this in my heart, but I didn't know it in my head. The trannies, mass shootings, trannies commit 1,200% more mass shootings than non-trannies. Now, there was one of those trannies shot up a gay queer nightclub in Orlando, whatever. I can't remember what, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And he was a tranny. But it was back at a time he shot them up because the queers wouldn't let trannies into the club, so to speak, literally and figuratively. They didn't like him. But now, because trannyism became a bit popular, the gender mutilation, all that stuff, they're one and the same. But back then, that was why that tranny shot up a bunch of queers. Because he was an outsider. But still, it was a tranny murder. 1,200% more mass attacks in the United States are carried out by trannies than non-trannies. Now we have the facts and the numbers to deny them the ability to buy a gun or to even possess a gun. Okay, interested to hear what you have to say on that. Anyway, you know what? I haven't given this out, gosh, in like a month. You want to reach me? Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. For reasons I don't know, for the last 5 or 6 weeks, our listening audience continues to increase significantly. And I think it's because the things we're talking about I think they're all relevant, but they're maybe more important on the relevance scale than some of the other things of the past. So let me go on and take a swat at your local Muslim in chief, Mamdani, here. New York City spent in the 90s a lot of time and money to build up their police force to 40,000 officers. 40,000. That's a lot. I think about that growing up in a town of 1,200 people. I think of 40,000 cops. Man, I would have been jailed by the time I finished seventh grade. Anyway, God bless them, and I'm thankful for them. However, well, and as a result of building up that police force, they reduced the crime. It was back in Giuliani's day because he was part of that, by 50%. One of the most public safety turnarounds in American history. Well, Zoran Mamdani, Mammy Zorani, call him whatever the heck you want. He just canceled plans to hire 5,000 new officers. And they need them. New York loses 4,000 cops every single year to retirement and just plain resignation. Those that want to get the heck out of Dodge. But this is what he's keeping in refusing to replenish the police force. He did keep $5.6 million for the Office of Racial Equity. He kept $4.6 million for the Commission on Racial Equity. So the Commission and the Office each have multi-million dollar budgets. Just under $1 million for the Commission on Gender Equity, with six-figure diversity officer salaries spread across the Fire Department and the Department of Education. More than $10 million for racial equity bureaucrats, zero for cops. So the word, not on the street, but from one of the officials there in New York, by the New York police chief, John Chell, C-H-E-L-L. He was on Fox the other day, and he said this is a recipe for disaster. Public safety is a key to New York City. And he went on to just say, this is, you're not going to be safe there. Fewer cops, more Muslims running wild, attacking any kind of Christian manifestation that's coming to a town near you, especially if you live in New York City. Mem Dani doesn't want more cops. He wants more Muslims. And reducing the police presence is one way to get non-Muslims to move out of New York City. It's not real difficult to figure out. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? I can't stop on that story. I've got other stuff to share. But this is a time... You know what? It's always a time to pray. I don't know why I'm even saying it's time to pray. It's always time to pray. And this Sunday, I'm going to be preaching at a church in California, which it will be aired on YouTube. And I will pass on in next week's program how you can watch the program. And I feel like it's a message that God has given me. For this particular church, it's a great church. I could talk about a whole bunch of things, how we're being set up to be taken over by Muslims, and according to Zechariah and other passages, that's the reason we'll come against Israel, because all the people who come against Israel and Christians are those who, Scripture says, those who will think that in persecuting us, they're doing God justice. They're doing justice. They're doing a service for God. And who does that describe? I could talk about so many things that would be in line with this program. But interestingly, the message the Lord has given me is a bigger message. It is bigger. It is more timely. I am blown away how God gave it to me. The pastor asked me, he said, would you do one thing for me? I said, well, sure. He's a good friend of 20-some years. A gutsy guy. He wouldn't close the church during COVID. Zach, Al Newsom, just go stick it. We aren't going to do that. He defied his own denomination. God bless him. They didn't have any guts at the bureaucratic level of the denomination. He just kept on going. He just said, would you please bring your Bible holster? I love my Bible holster. He didn't have to ask. I preach everywhere with this gorgeous, well-tooled holster that holds my Bible. To be ready in season and out of season. Be instant with the word. Be ready to be the quick draw, to have an answer for every man. And how fast can you draw? Meaning, how well do you know the word, and how quickly can you draw the word from the reservoir in your heart and your head? Well, not very well if you don't study the word. And that's why you need to be in it a lot of the time. And the name of the message is One Thing is Needful. Now, you know where that passage comes from, Scripture, but the message has nothing to do, actually, with that particular passage. So I hope that you will watch it when I pass it on next week. I also ask for your prayers that God would just use me as a blessing. That's all I want to be. I just want God to be glorified in everything. If you heard the Sunday morning program or will hear the Sunday morning program for this week, what do I want to see? I want to see more miracles. And why do I want to see them? Because I just want God glorified in all the ways. He gets glorified when somebody gets saved, when their marriage is healed, all of these types of things. I'm not seeing the miracles I used to when I was first in the faith. And I want to see more because I want to see God be glorified. God's not crazy about sharing shelf space with man. God, you be glorified. God bless you, and sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. And we will see you next week.